Do all dogs go to heaven? Today on Where We Begin. Welcome back to Where We Begin, a podcast where we respond and answer to some of the toughest objections to Christianity today. I am Derek Caldwell, the host. I'm joined by Alicia Wood, the apologist, Lou Phillips, the apologist, and Xander Carroll, the apologist.
I'm not an apologist.
Oh.
Oh, is there something you want to tell us?
No, I've often thought that. But no, you keep answering these questions. I don't know why. Well, how is everyone?
Great.
After this rocky start.
It's just not a genuine question. That's why I struggle to answer it every time you ask. Do you really want to know how I'm doing, Derek?
Okay, so we're going to air this out live, I guess. No, that's true. I don't. So we can move on.
Okay, great. Let's handle that. Good.
No, funny thing about Lou, I was actually going to start this episode with a question. I just wanted to know, well, not me, of course, the people want to know.
People.
They wanted to know if you were dog people or cat people. That's what they wanted to know. But then I found out that Lou has this like bizarre, irrational fear of being killed by a gorilla.
I didn't know where you're going to go. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not irrational. That's terrifying.
I know exactly. I think that's what's going to happen. It's not that I'm afraid that one day I will die from a gorilla. What I'm saying is that would be one of the scariest ways to die.
Yeah. Well, it's a good icebreaker question. Your question was, and we discussed this, was would you rather be attacked by a lion or a gorilla? And there's pretty much unanimous agreement, gorilla. Because a lion will just kill you. A gorilla will play with you for a long time. Feel free to interact on that.
Such a weird icebreaker.
Well, he said it.
It was a conversation yesterday.
I didn't actually say, do you want this or this? What I said was the gorilla is the scariest thing. I was like, even compared to a lion, I would so rather go hand-to-hand combat with a lion than I would a gorilla. Because at least a lion is something so otherly, like gorillas are oddly, like it also can grab me and like it's just weird.
And pull my arm off.
Yeah, it's a scary way to die. Yeah.
But then you said mean stuff about my orcas.
Orcas also should terrify everybody.
They're beautiful.
They are terrifying creatures. They're beautiful.
Beautiful things can't be terrible. Moving on.
Okay.
They can. Well, no, but both the gorilla and the lion, we're still talking about this, are external. I feel like being destroyed from the inside out by a living creature would be so much worse.
Leave it to Xandra to make
something
this.
Something that can lay its eggs inside of you and you can feel them slowly eating you alive while you're slowly dying.
Sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Children at home watching.
I mean, there's something sweet about knowing that you're helping a mother, you know, carry her young, though.
The circle of life.
Wow. All right, what's the question?
Anyway, it's okay. None of this will make it.
Okay.
So the question is, do you want to spend eternity with a gorilla, essentially? Because, the question we received is this, do all dogs go to heaven? So it's about animal afterlife.
Great, great movie, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Do all dogs go to heaven?
I just have to say, when I was very young, I thought I was like some kind of a psychopath because I would see movies that I should have cried at, that I laughed at and things like that. So it was real bizarre. But I saw All Dogs Go to Heaven. It was the first time I remember crying at all. No, not at all. but at a movie. Yeah. So it really
Mine was My Girl. Remember My Girl with Macaulay Culkin?
Also animal related.
Mine was Dumbo.
Bees.
It's Dumbo right. made me cry so hard.
Dumbo.
It's always animals. Lou has never cried, but
I probably cry more than all of you. You know this. Anytime I speak, I cry. I don't think I've ever cried in an animal movie, though.
Really?
Sorry.
Okay.
It's just not where the heartstrings are for me. Mine's more like the things that really matter, like, you know, those created in His image.
When
pain is attributed to like a human being, you know, one of those, you know, the ones that Christ died for. That's what I really struggle with. The animals is like, oh, that's sad, but
Yeah, maybe we should have an episode on which which parts of creation do we have to love and which ones do we not?
Yeah, which of the image bearers do we have to love?
Well, we have to actually answer some questions today. So, do all dogs go to heaven? We're talking about animals in the afterlife, and people are typically asking about their own pets, yes, obviously, because they want to know. It's not funny, Lou.
No, I'm laughing because of you, and you have a lot of pets, and I'm not going to talk on this. This is not going to go well.
I have some pets. Don't say
that. You already dug a hole. You may as well stay in there.
I mean, I think I have a biblical answer. That's what I would say.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Okay. So the first way I want to answer this is, we're not actually talking about heaven. We're talking about the new earth.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about this sort of disembodied thing, but the Christian view is that, when we die, most Christians view that when we die, our souls, this intermediate state, we go to heaven, but eventually we'll be resurrected on the new earth in glorified bodies. So the claim is made, and I actually heard this once working in a veterinary hospital. A lady said, we know animals won't be in heaven because they don't have souls. Looking in the biblical data, is that even true? Is it right to say, before we ask, will they be there, will they not be there? Mm. Is it right to say that they don't have souls or something like that, what we would think about a soul?
I think if memory serves me right, I could be wrong. Please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on this, that there are sort of different categories laid out in Genesis, that there are the soulish animals, but they're soul-like animals. So they don't necessarily have a soul, and those are things like mammals and birds. And then there are other creatures, like your goldfish, Goldie, is probably not going to care if you're sick one day, whereas, your dog Fido is going to care if you're sick, and he's going to try and comfort you and be near you and all that stuff. I think there's a distinction, but I still would be very hesitant to say that those animals had souls in the same way that human beings have souls. I think that the Imago Dei very distinctly separates human beings from the rest of the created order, but feel free to add or subtract or whatever.
I kind of like him with this. I don't know if that's actually, I could back up that idea through scripture. That's my only problem. I'm thinking what evidence do I have? It seems to me it might be an argument from silence to say that animals don't have, I agree there's some difference between humans and animals, but I don't know if I can actually say from scripture that there's something that tells me for certain these don't have some type of ability to live in an afterlife.
Within the tradition as it developed, the Christianity develops, there's this idea that, if you're created in the image of God, you have this rational soul is what they referred to it a lot of the times. And it was this sort of spiritual element to you, this immaterial sort of part of you. But there is, in kind of interestingly enough, there is in Genesis this idea of, when humans are created, that God breathes into us the breath of life, the ruach, and then we become nefesh, the living souls, is what I said. And so the reason I bring that up is that it's interesting that clearly the only thing referred to as being in God's image, I think, is other humans. But those words, nefesh and ruach, are applied to animals in different verses in the Old Testament. So it's kind of this interesting, there is a difference, but I think to your point, there is a difference, but there is this sort of similarity as well in the Old Testament. So there's Genesis 1:30, 6:17, 7:15, 7:22 for breath of life, for anyone who wants to look these up at home, and for living being, there's Genesis 1 verses 20 to 21, 24, 30, and then chapter 9 verses 9 through 10. So there are these different ways that it's being used and applied towards different animal life. But I guess that's the difficulty of sort of, yeah, how this idea of the soul sort of changed over time. And is that what's even being talked about in those, in that Genesis passage? When we say soul today, mm-hmm. with how that's developed, is that the same thing, I guess, in those Genesis passages?
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be my answer. I don't act. It just seems to me like if that were the case, you'd even see why is that not discussed anywhere else? Oh, that's not even, I don't know if that's a good argument actually. Just like when I'm thinking of New Testament authors talking about the resurrection, the resurrected bodies, and then even just the apocalyptic language and mm-hmm. even like the eschaton, you never hear that at all. Even at the end of Matthew where you see these, the bodies come out of the tombs, right? And go in and preach, like it's always related to the human race only, mm-hmm. Never to, and again, I'm trying to think.
That's clearly the main sort of what needs redeemed.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, but it's not that he doesn't. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I guess what do we make of, so we could talk about sort of what do we expect to be in.
Like the new earth.
The new earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is sort of the. Is it only beings that have soul? Let's say that, you know, whatever we decide on animals, is it only beings that have souls? Because that is the idea. Mm-hmm. In sort of the Western mindset on heaven and hell has been very much formed by Dante and Milton, mm-hmm. and other things that may not be in the biblical portrayal of those things. So maybe it would be worth it just to spend some time on like what, when we talk about eternity, for people thinking, wait, I thought we were just going to be playing harps.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Floating on clouds, which I don't think actually sounds like the worst thing. Like, I do think that would be fun for a little bit, but.
Such a slab.
Yeah. But I do think, I would have no problem with that. But, I mean, what is going to be going on there as far as we can tell from the biblical narrative?
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good question to ask, right? Because I think part of the struggle that we have with this question is the Bible doesn't really exactly lay it out necessarily as clear as it does a lot of the other things. And so the question, I think, for me isn't so much whether or not there will be animals in, you know, this kind of new earth, heaven. Like, I think there will be. The question is it your dog Fido? Is it your pet goldfish? Is it your, you know, it's about, is it though, or do those specific animals that you have, are those the ones that are going to be there? And do you need to have, does the animal have to have a soul to be there? Because if it's not the animal, your pet or whatever, are they brand new animals that didn't have a soul but that were created there? So I think that there is a lot of things that I think that are still just maybe kind of unanswered because we just, it's just not fully laid out in perfect clarity. So I think, will we be sitting around on harps and sitting around in clouds playing harps and this kind of thing. While that might be enjoyable for some, I think heaven is going to be bigger and greater than what we can imagine. I actually think that we can have this idea of whatever we can imagine it to be, the most coolest, most amazing thing that it possibly is. And I think then we need to recognize what we haven't thought great enough yet. Like, it's even greater than that. And because I don't even consider that it might be limited to my thought. I think that there's this really just cool song by Mandisa called, I think it's like, You Wouldn't Cry For Me Today, about someone who went to heaven. And if they could write us a song. But one of the things that, what they would say to us, and one of the things that she says in there, and I mean, I'm not saying this is exactly going to happen to me and it's a song, but this idea of like blue has never been bluer. And true is never been truer. Honey has never tasted so sweet. There's a song in the breeze and a million voices in praise. A rose has never smelled redder, which is interesting. So a rose has never smelled redder. So it's like, you know, is there aspects and smells that we can't even experience that we don't even know? We know how dogs have an amazing sense of smell. that is ridiculous. They can sense even like seizures, and they can sense, you know, like we'll have a whole new range of experience things that are open to us. And so I think, you know, I think the big thing is that God will be there. And I think that's one of the unique things about Christianity is that it's not promised in every religion that God would necessarily be in heaven, that he or in paradise or whatever. Like there isn't necessarily a guarantee. The ultimate for the Christian is that they get to be in the presence of God for forever, which is ultimately the penalty of hell. It isn't the, you know, we talk about the torture, we talk about these pain and fires. That's actually not the worst thing that you can experience is that. The worst thing is that you can experience an eternity without God. And so that actually is the consequence. So I think it's going to be the fact that he's there, limitless, and being able to encounter him and engage with him in ways never before. Like that's what's going to make it great. So Harps and Clouds, I think, is like not even close to being on the radar.
Well, and we have the idea that, like, we keep saying this, but like this new heaven, new earth, and embodied, like we have new resurrected bodies. It's the concept that this thing that we're on, this rock, this, like all these things that we really love and appreciate, there's a reason why we love and appreciate. And there is going to be a new version of this. Right. And that's beautiful. Like, I love that. I love the fact that I probably bring up Yosemite National Park too much. That's probably my favorite place in the world. But when I go there, there's something like transcendent about it. There's something like stunning about God's creation. It's like, and we don't have to be like, dang it, like in the end there won't be. No, it'd be like, no, it's more than that, it's even better, like, because we've even marred this earth the way it shouldn't be, like all like there's gonna be a new earth. And I do love this, and this maybe this might get to the question. I mean, it's a very small a couple of words, but he says in Revelation 21 verse 5, he says, and then he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And I just thought of that for a second. Notice he didn't say, I'm making new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what he does with your pet that you really love. Part of me just thinks, you know, for the heck of it, he's just like, look, sure. Why not? Like, why not allow you to enjoy this created being that I created it intentionally, knowing that you'd have a relationship with, like, there's something about that that's powerful. But I will say this, no matter what, because even more powerful, and not to get on a topic that's not completely unrelated, but it sort of is it's the idea of being in eternity without someone you love. Like, that's the fear. And how much more applied to someone that you, in relation to a human being, the beauty about glory, the beauty about the resurrection is there will be no lack. And that's impossible for us to think, because even a loved one of ours that is no longer here that maybe didn't know the Lord, and we don't know what to do with that information. All the beautiful, the most stunning things that we love about this life, and even in people themselves, can be found in Christ. He's the author of us. So there will never be lack or need. And the same thing I would say with these pets that you loved and that you've cared for, and you've seen the goodness of God in the fact that he's created these beings and these creatures. Whether it is the pet that you had, I would say you're not going to be lacking, and you're going to, if anything, love all the more whatever creatures are there. And so I just don't think we need to be worried about it or sad. He's a father that cares about us and does want good things for us. And this is coming from him that really just does not care that
this
much.
This is taking
about
a real turn.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, Lou and I are on opposite sides of where I thought
we were. Well, yeah. No, I'm not an animal. I mean, I think animals are cool, but I'm never going to own an animal. I just don't like that. But but I think there's something to it. You do see like the care that people, and I don't think that's, I think there's something good in a godliness there that matters. That's all. Yeah. But I don't think we can definitively say whether it's going to be your pet. And why do we pick Fido? I'd rather do
I've never actually met a pet, a dog Fido. Named Fido.
Yeah.
But it is the example often given. Fido, sure. Fido and a goldfish. It's okay, like a very, a goldfish. I don't know where that comes from.
But. Goldie the goldfish.
I had a hamster.
I had a guinea pig.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want, I probably don't want
I
to
have
hear
an
that.
Idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody has a terrible hamster story. We're not going to get into that. Yeah. That would be a miracle if I saw my hamster again. Let me just say that.
I feel like you would.
I think it was in pieces last time I saw it.
I feel like Jesus would probably have to get in between the two of you. If that's the impression I'm getting. That
no. I didn't do it. No, it was a rat. We're not getting into this. My hamster was murdered by another rodent.
Whoa.
What in the world?
Keep going, Sandra.
This has been the surprisingly the deathiest episode yet of Where We Begin.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is dark. This is dark, but also good because I'm really surprised. My theory before coming into this was essentially no one has to guess what I think happens. I don't know for sure, but I think our pets will be there. But my theory was basically if you really love pets and you've had connections with them, the way you read the Bible will be that, oh yeah, it looks like they're going to be there. And if you don't and haven't, that for the most part, you'll be like, I don't think it's in there.
Okay.
Like it is this like sort of this like,
okay,
this thing. But yeah, I'm very, I don't know. This is throwing me off. I don't know where to go from here.
Well, I did have one other thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I could share.
Please.
So yes, I do think animals will be in the new creation. I mean, we see in a lot of apocalyptic literature, Isaiah's writings, Revelation, you read from earlier, mm-hmm. you know, pictures of the wolf lying down with the lamb. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of harmony in nature. And I think there will be truly creatures there. We serve a God who is so creative. I mean, just look at the biology in our current, like, reality. It's incredible. And wouldn't that sort of God want, you know, be able of making more than just harps and clouds? Mm-hmm. And certainly enjoy making more than just harps and clouds. So, yeah, but I did want to touch on his care for creation, because I think a lot of this is very anthropocentric. When we approach this question, it's very sure. human oriented, mm-hmm. You know, or we just think about what's going to happen to people through creation and at the end of creation. And, you know, God said that creation was good before human beings were ever on the scene. Mm-hmm. He created it, he looked at it, and he said it was good. And I think that's significant. I think it matters to him. So I don't know if Fido will be in heaven, but I know that God cares about Fido. So yeah, Romans 8, I know everybody has read this a million times, but I just thought maybe it'd be good to throw it in there too. For I consider, starting at verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves. And then it talks about the first fruits of the Spirit. So I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that God's eye is on creation. His eye is on the sparrow. And you know, there's a poem that says God sees with equal eye the fallen hero and the sparrow that flies, or something like that. It was Alexander. I can't remember. I probably misquoted that poet, but I disagree with that. I don't think that God sees humans and nature as equal. He doesn't see humans and mm-hmm. animals as equal, but I do still think that he cares about them deeply. And has compassion for them and sees their suffering. And I don't think that should be overlooked. I'm not sure I would take, you know, a Wesleyan approach who would say more that, yes, those creatures themselves maybe are resurrected. I'm not sure if it happens that way or not. Maybe it does. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me. But, you know, because I think it's more just that is for humanity, that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, meaning we who follow him, human beings, are coming after him in that resurrection. But I could be wrong. So, but yeah, I just wanted to emphasize, he does really care about creation. I don't want it to come across that it's just about people, because I don't think it is.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think that's helpful because, you know, we really do get a sense in the scriptures that God is, I mean, he is grieved. I was listening to a podcast recently about some of the, there was an Old Testament scholar talking about some of the war passages in like Joshua and, you know, this sort of the violent warfare with Canaanites. And interestingly, there are passages in there about God grieving the ecological destruction that comes from warfare. Mm. And so even in that, like, we do get caught up in the anthropocentric aspects of these things. And sometimes it's almost like this seems like a very righteous thing because we're talking about God's love for us, not realizing that we're still focusing on ourselves a lot sometimes. But that God loves creation even more than we do. And his capacity for love is so great that even if, you know, we're held up here and creation's maybe here, you know, that's still an infinite amount of love. Just sort of a different ordering of things, which is, we kind of, I mean, eventually there will be a question on that too. I think we need to spend a lot of time and try to rehabilitate the sort of the view, I mean, for evangelicals, for anyone who thinks that Christians don't care about creation, because, you know, we view stewardship as use it however we want, however quickly we want, and not care about the consequences. You know, it will be interesting, I think, to talk about that more in the future. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, and I would love to just, Lily, on that point, because you remind, when you brought up anthropocentrism, I was like, oh, that's a really good, because even my view of like, well, I was certain the whole time was, well, yeah, what about us? Like, would we like animals? But going into Genesis 9 or 8 and 9, and you see the whole story of the flood, which is a whole nother surprise. We haven't gotten to that one yet, Derek. God says, I will never again curse the ground because of man. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he establishes a covenant and says, and this is the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I set my bow in the cloud and it shall be a sign of covenant between me and the earth. That's a very fascinating, like, why is God making a covenant with the earth?
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't tell you how much he cares for the actual place that we dwell, mm-hmm. including the creatures that he has created. I mean, just, yeah. I mean, and I think my position still stands, but it does change. It's like, I was still viewing it purely from a, how do I gain from animals being there, when actually it's like, actually just from God's own goodness, like he cares for that without, even though we are the ones creating his image, that kind of thing.
Whatever happens, it will be good and the right thing because God has done it. And just real quick, the for people who don't know, the imagery of the rainbow is really beautiful because it is this, it's this backward arrow.
Yes.
This, or backward bow that God is approaching in an ancient warfare. That's how you would approach people when you were coming in peace. So they knew that you were no longer at war with them. You were their friend. So yeah, beautiful. I love that.
Well, I hope there's animals in the future because I want to swim with my orcas and they won't be able to kill me then.
Yeah, they won't eat you.
They will be whales, not killer whales.
This was a really whales. Deathy episode.
That was a deathy episode.
But you know what the good news is?
We'll all die someday.
Yes. And then, that's true. That, I mean, it sounds, that's a... Yeah, we have to talk about that a lot more.
Today
we
can't drop that
with 30 seconds left. Is, but one day we won't talk about really death anymore. It will be over. And that's the best, one of the best parts about the new creation. So all this stuff about death and these jokes, we won't even have them.
I still feel like this is a fun episode. This one wasn't like, it didn't feel antagonistic in any way.
Well, and you heard too. Anyone listening, send your flood questions to Lou.
Yes.
Send them to me, the hardest one you can think of, and I will make sure, I promise, I will ask it.
That is the hardest. I have no idea why people don't ask that one. People try to use like violence in the Old Testament. I'm like, there's a harsher story here that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah.
But anyway, keep.
All right. Well, it'll come up then.
Great.
Look at you. If you build it, they will come. So there we go.
We're finishing there. You can say goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Tell them to like and subscribe.
What have I just,
tell them to rate us.
Say it again.
Rate us and like and subscribe. We're on YouTube.
You
and
heard it from us
and
first.
Facebook and other places.
And if you want to, also along with that, if you want your, send us your flood questions to where we begin at lightengroup.org. And thanks. We had fun. We hope you did too. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to check out our Facebook and Instagram by searching Lightning Group. And if you want to know more about what we do or support us financially, please visit our website at lightninggroup.org.